B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
International free agent Seiya Suzuki getting closer to finding a home, according to David Kaplan's Twitter account, after meeting with the Cubs front office and chairman Tom Ricketts on Monday night. Japanese star Seiya Suzuki has agreed to a five-year, $70 million deal with the Chicago Cubs. Hashtag take that. Jim Salisbury tweeting this out. Phillies have an agreement with Kyle Schwarber, pending all the usual stuff. Big year last year between the Nationals and Red Sox. OPS of almost 930, 32 homers. Proved his defensive worth as he kind of, you know, handled that
deal.
First base position.
Chris has a stress fracture in his right rib cage. So he is not throwing right now, and he's not going to be ready for the start of the season because of that. This happened actually, probably a lot of you guys saw the live BP that he was streaming on Instagram. That's when this happened. That's actually the last time that he threw. And we found out about it when we were able to get back in touch with him. He's not throwing, basically, at this point. So we're talking weeks, not days, before we can get a baseball back in his hand.
All right, back to your football calls in a second. Just a quick Red Sox minute. It's not a pleasant minute. We put that together because those three news items. Seiya Suzuki, have I pronounced the first name correctly?
Yeah, Seiya Suzuki.
Seiya Suzuki, that Japanese outfielder that the Red Sox were supposed to be the favorite to land, signs with the Cubs. Kyle Schwarber, who was a good fit here, not that I could call that, but Schwarber was a good fit for you here last year at first base. Suzuki signed with the Cubs, Schwarber signed with the Phillies, and then you heard the news, you may have heard it already today, that Chris Sale has been shut down with a stress fracture in his rib that he suffered, I don't know, weeks ago, a month ago, throwing a side session on Instagram. Those three news items. I found those out in about that order. It was like a 2.5 minute time lapse. And I don't know when these pieces of news came out. It's just sort of, I sort of get my news analog. And I can't remember how or where I heard them. Radio, TV, I do have the MLB Network on in the morning now because there's moves, and so I will have that on, and that's where I heard some of these. But either way, I'll
tell you. It came fast and furious this morning when you were enjoying your coffee.
Inside about 2.5 minutes around my morning dump.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they lost out on Suzuki. Oh, they just lost out on Schwarber. Oh, Sale's been shut down. I'm like, oh, good morning. It all came down in like 2-3 minutes for me. And talk about not having a great offseason either. There's your Boston Red Sox. The Chris Sale one is particularly. So, I mean, look. They still continue to be reported that they're in on Freddie Freeman, which I will eat my hat. I will believe it when I see it. If they outbid what's left now, which is like the Dodgers and the Rays, which is interesting. The Rays are still said to be in it. But if the Dodgers are in it, if the Jays, the Blue Jays are in it, if the Rays are in it, you're going to outbid those teams. That would surprise me. But I will say on the other side that, well, the Yankees have their first baseman. They brought back Rizzo. So maybe the Yankees probably are out on Freeman. Mm-hmm. There was another team. The Braves themselves are out on Freeman. So it's like maybe there is a path
more
there.
More realistic when you think about it.
I just don't believe it. I just don't believe they're going to outbid the Dodgers on Freddie Freeman. But if they do, like with the Patriots, I'll change my commentary on a dime and give them credit for it. But as it stands right here, it doesn't feel like a very productive offseason for the Red Sox so far.
No, and they should also now be looking at another arm, I would think, with this Chris Sale news. He and the DL, like peanut butter and jelly, like they go together so well. That extension looks worse by the day. And now he's also not going to get, we already know he wasn't vaccinated. He's not going to get it. He was asked about that today. So he's not going to be able to ever pitch against the Blue Jays in Canada. So I would think you'd maybe want to add to that rotation, which as of right now on paper, not great. Of all the Pivetta, Rich Hill, Waka, Tanner Houck, and he's only going to be like a one of those openers. So wouldn't you want another arm as well? I think you need another bat in the outfield.
But I'll tell you, just that injury, a stress fracture in his rib, throwing a side session. And, you know, and the fact that it was streaming on Instagram, really, is that really important? Because he could have, I guess, strained it just throwing on his own. But there's something for me, that piece to it. He hurt himself posting something on Instagram.
That's such a baseball player thing to do, isn't it?
And it's just such a millennial thing and such a, you know, that these this is the world we live in. And it's like, you know, I'm becoming more of an old by the day, but it's like, yeah, of course he hurt himself posting something on Instagram. It's like, I know it's a sidebar and it's a small thing and he could have heard it, do it, but the fact that he did it posting the session on Instagram to me resonates with me. It's just another thing for me to get annoyed by.
Well, I think you're overplaying that one a
of course
bit.
I told you I am.
He's trying to show you, look, I'm getting ready for the season even though we're still in this lockout. The problem is his body makeup. That's the real issue.
It is.
The guy's built like a twig and you crack a rib.
I'm going to ask a dumb question, but when he was with the White Sox before he came here, did he have a lot of injury issues?
No, he was pretty durable for a guy that size.
But given his frame, Ted, it was all a matter of time before this kind of thing started to happen.
And the way his style and his
he's just
motion.
So violent.
Right.
So you had another thought on Chris Sale just overall before we go back to the phones, Ted?
Well, the only thing is with Chris Sale, it's kind of one of those things when you hear his cracked rib, you go, it's hard not to kind of go back and look at the deal that he signed and not think about the context in which he signed that deal. It was the 2018 World Series. I mean, he comes in, he's just lighting the world on fire and everybody's feeling good. And Chris Sale says all the right things when he came here. He embraced the history here. He says he can have a self-deprecating sense of humor and people love that about him. And then they give him all this money and it's like, oh, you have to kind of regret that.
Of course,
without question, the return on investment.
They got caught up in that, yep. Winning the whole thing, and they are paying for that past kind of success because right now they're not getting any dividends out of that.
I also thought it was kind of reactionary in that they were still feeling, the anger from fans and people are like, you should have signed John Lester. Like, they shouldn't. Yeah. This Chris Sale deal, now it's biting them in the ass. In hindsight, it's a massive mistake.
It is.
But it's just, it's a miracle, what you're sort of alluding to on the injury front, that he didn't suffer like something like this before. He's just so slight. I mean, it's just the skinniest mother bleeping pro athlete you'll ever see. And his delivery was always so violent. He always, it always looked like just his arm was ready to explode with the pressure he put on his elbow and the way he threw the baseball. But, starting in 2012, his game started. 29, 30, 26, 31, 32, 32, 27, 25 in 2019. And, so he pretty much, that's good. Those are good, durable numbers in today's game. And it feels like he's never going to be right, is what it feels like to me.
Or if nothing else, Mike, he's just going to continue to wear down over the course of the long season. Like, that's what happens with Chris Sale now. And he's missed too much time.
Okay, well, either way. How was your breakfast this morning, Red Sox fans? Suzuki, out. Schwarber, out. Sale, out. Let's see on Freddie Freeman, though. If that would surprise me. Pleasantly surprise me. All right, back to your phones on everything. Nick in the car on the Sox.
Hey, guys. So I agree. It would pleasantly surprise me. But I also have to say this. The fact that the Rays are involved is kind of surprising just from a financial standpoint, because that goes to show that maybe it has nothing to do with the Rays and their small market as opposed to Heim Bloom. Considering that all the Rays are being involved, but the Red Sox are, very quietly involved. A sleeper team that's in is the Padres. If the Padres do manage to get him, then the trade opens up for the Red Sox to get some guys. But I really want them to get Freddie Freeman. And as of 15 minutes ago, I just saw a tweet that apparently Freddie Freeman and his team have, quote-unquote, overplayed their hand with the teams on the market. So it's pretty much down to the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Red Sox. If the Rays want to swing the money, then obviously them. But those are the three big teams. And if the Red Sox lose out, God, Heim, help me.
I mean, I expect them to lose out to the Dodgers and the Padres, who, in the last couple of years,
they've become strong.
Spent their faces off. So the Padres are on a mission as an organization.
Yep.
So it would surprise me if the Sox outbid them, but I hope they do.
It's kind of crazy to hear you say that, though. You'd be surprised if the Red Sox would outbid them. That's all they used to do was outbid everybody.
That sentence shouldn't exist.
You're right.
Well, this modern Red Sox, since Heim Bloom got here, the biggest free agent they've signed is Kiki Hernandez, 2 years, 14. And they go from that to I don't know what Freeman's going to get. 5 years, you tell me, 5 years and $200 million? I mean, it's going to be, maybe that's a little much, but.
I just don't know how, like, the Illuminati, like Tyler Milliken, are going to support the guy no matter what. And even I, like, you know, while I had fun ragging on him last year, he had some shrewd moves like snagging Kyle Schwarber. That paid off, obviously. But I don't know how you can feel confident in him right now after he said what he said at the picnic tables, where it sounds like he's trying to prioritize finding a decent player on a cheap deal far more than actual talent.
Yeah,
what was the thing he said about the names? Like,
he said you don't want to judge a move based on its splashiness or Q rating.
I think you kind
of
do.
Which is another way of saying we're not going to, you know,
we're not going to find talent.
Those guys are expensive.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't judge it on the price. So he's telling you right there that they're not looking to make a splash. And again, if you can win not spending, why would you spend? I think most owners would take that deal. What do you mean? We're winning. We're two games away from the World Series and you're not spending? Then don't spend.
One of the worst things that maybe happened was the success they had last year. It just emboldened them and made them more confident in their philosophy that what they were doing is the right thing.
Okay, back to your phones on everything. Quick thought on the Bruins last night as well, coming your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Up top now, Pastrnak, center point. Dangles to the near circle. Turns away from Kane. That's 88 against 88. Hall to the left circle across. Grizzly shoots. He scores! What a sweet pass that was! Hall to Grizzly. He drills it home.
I just quick Bruin thought off of last night. I thought Bruce Cassidy had a real bad challenge at the end of that game and almost cost him the game. They won. They won in overtime. Taylor Hall sent out Matt Grizzlick, which you heard right there. They dominated the Blackhawks. I don't know what the final shots were, but it felt like for a lot of that game, the shots, when I looked up in the third period, was something like 42-12 or something like that. They were all over the Blackhawks. They couldn't score. Fleury was good, but you just couldn't finish. You should have won that game 4-1, 5-1, something like that, but you couldn't finish. And Fleury was good. You didn't get the 2 points in overtime. Taylor Hall to Grzelcyk, which you heard right there. But at the end of regulation, maybe 4.5 minutes left, Charlie Coyle potted a goal, kind of threw traffic on a loose puck, and they waved it off immediately because I think it was Craig Smith brushed Fleury's blocker and stick hand, basically. And immediately Chicago, the Fleury and one of the defensemen there turned around to the ref, and the ref immediately gave him the call and waved off the goal. And in real time, it looked kind of ticky-tack. It looked like Smith maybe didn't even hit him. And I had the sound down, so I don't know what Jack Edwards was saying. But in real time, it didn't look like much.
It looked like it blocked the stick handle just slightly.
Well,
if at all.
Okay, so again, I'm just telling you, in real time, it looked like a ticky-tack call, like Smith didn't really get him. And then they showed the replay a couple times, and I thought it was obvious. He skated into his blocker hand and his stick side and didn't knock the stick out of his hand, but could have, and sort of jostled his blocker and his stick. It's like it was a good call. He ran into him. He bumped the goalie and affected sort of how he was approaching the shot. And it was a clear call. It was the right call. And Cassidy still challenged it. I mean, maybe that's not his fault. Maybe it's the guys upstairs who are looking at the video. It probably is because he relies on someone else on whether to challenge it or not. But the deal is now, Ted, is if you lose a challenge, you go on the penalty kill. It's not just losing a challenge and they drop the puck. No, the other team goes on a power play.
Can I ask a potentially dumb question, too? I'm sorry to cut you off there, Ted. Could they have also whacked Smith, too, for interference with that?
No.
And added that?
No.
Okay.
That's not part of the rule. So they got 2 minutes for delay a game. Not or So, look, I had the sound down, but I know if you lose a challenge, it's delay a game and you go to the box. So, I don't know if they got him for...
No, it was for the minor for the challenge.
Yeah, okay, it was delay a game. So, I know, I don't think you can create a goalie interference penalty on replay. I don't think you can.
Okay.
But if you lose a challenge, it's a delay a game and you go in the box for 2 minutes. Wow. So, they put a...
I like that.
You know, it's good, right?
So that makes you be very judicial with your challenge.
Exactly. So, now we're not sitting around... Right. On these useless challenges, the NFL should do something like that.
I like that.
If you challenge and lose, you don't just lose your timeout, you lose 5 yards.
Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, something like that, which would discourage useless challenges. So they've done that in hockey. It's a good rule. But there's 4.5 minutes left, and now his team goes on the penalty kill. It's like, you weren't going to win that challenge. You weren't going to win that. He bumped him. And so that was a bad challenge by Cassidy or the staff. Whoever I have to blame on that, I blame. Bad move. I just have one other quick little thing. The Taylor Hall thing to me is, I find interesting because I think there's something not right with him. There's something that is just off. I can't put my finger on it, Ted.
What's the Taylor Hall thing?
Thing? He came in with a horrible reputation of just being one of the worst guys to play with in the league, sort of a coach killer, a teammate killer, not a good guy, not a good guy to play with. He was a number one overall pick and an MVP, yet he bounced around to three different teams in 4 different years, and it's like...
Nobody liked playing with this
There's something wrong there because...
Great of a player as he is.
If you're that good, why are you on 4 teams in 3 years, and there's just something not right. And
that was what you mean. Okay.
The reputation that followed him. And so I watch this, Ted. I watch this. I don't know if I'm imagining it or not, but when he's part of a goal celebration, when he either sets somebody up or scores, and they all come together and hug. Mm-hmm. You know, in hockey, it's a big thing. There's a lot of man love in there. You hug each other and I always feel like when Taylor Hall's involved in one of those, it's kind of like distant.
Forced.
It's distant. It's sort of like tepid. And I'm admitting this up front. It's kind of stupid that I do this, but I do this because I worry about it.
Body language is a lot of people like just to dismiss it. There's something to it.
So it's like, because I want to know that because I'm a Bruins fan. I want it to work. I'm rooting for him to fit in and to be a real piece on this team. And I just.
He's not a big enough bro for you, it sounds like.
I'm a little leery of it because I don't feel like he's cracked that Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, Tuukka Rask, like that club, like that thing that this team has. I feel like he's still kind of on the inside of it, and I have no evidence to go on other than it's sort of like he gets a kiss on the cheek versus a kiss on the lips, or you know what I mean? And I'm admitting up front.
Before, sounds like too much of a lone wolf for your...
Send me the emails, it's stupid. It is. It's stupid, but whatever. I'm just giving it to you because I can't help but give it to you. And I say that as a precursor to the fact that he's good.
He's good at setting guys up.
He's good with the puck, Ted. He's a great passer.
Great passer. Better passer than anything else.
He can't finish anymore. It's amazing. He comes through the Bruins, and all of a sudden, he can't finish. Like, I get it. That makes sense. The Bruins have infected him. He puts on that Bruins sweater. He had another chance last night, second period, I think. Dead to right in front of Fleury. Can't finish. He can't finish. But more often than not, he does the right thing with the puck, and he's a good passer. He's good on the power play. They put him in front of the net, but when he's passing on the power, he's good passer. It's why the whole Pastrnak thing works, because he acts as the centerman for Pastrnak.
Yeah. And you know what? He seems quite happy with that role. I'll be honest. So, look, there's guys in that have unbelievable talent, but they're more comfortable being best supporting actors than they are the best, you know, like the main actor. They'd rather be in a supporting role. As great as they are, you're like, these guys should be like the marquee name. But skill wise, they should be, but they're not comfortable in that role, and they're better suited for, you know, the.
And that's
the
part of it. Yeah. You know, Taylor Hall has the talent to be the best player on the ice.
Yep.
But I think he's more content to be on the second line, setting up the best player and sort of that thing. Maybe it's less pressure on him, less expectations.
Yep. That's it.
And so there's just, I still worry that there's something off with the guy, but he can play. All right, there's your Bruins Minute, I promise. Back to your phones on everything. Jay in Dorchester on the Pats. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. I got two takes. So, Belichick is used to letting players go a year early instead of a year too late, right? So why don't the Crafts do the same to him? He's obviously lost his touch as a coach. He's had awful drafts. He's got a bad roster and he's making poor.
I got it, Jay. I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen, meaning he doesn't get as much leeway or rope as another longtime legendary great coach would get. I've said that many, many times. So I think they will go a year early than a year late. I just don't think that time's right now. What's your second point?
Okay, so the second thing is that you also got a 1-2 when Josh McDaniels left, right? And all those offensive coaches left with him. I believe it was more of a defection. I think they saw the writing on the wall. They were always being undermined. The input was never considered. And they were never valued as coaches.
Jay, I'm going to stop you there. You're definitely onto it. They've lost several coaches, a handful, a half dozen, on lateral moves. Not promotions, lateral moves. And I do. I think the caller's onto something. I think there's been a fraying of support among the staff that says, well, we don't get paid here. You know, it's a low-paid staff. And our input doesn't really factor into your decision making. So what am I doing here? If I'm not getting paid, I'm not making decisions. I'm not affecting things. I'll go do this somewhere else and actually get paid better and actually may, you know, be listened to at the end of the day.
Yeah, you would think that there would be guys lining up to maybe come work here. You know, that Bill, you lose all these offensive player coaches in this offseason, that there would be, you know, 100 of them that are ready to come and fill their places. It doesn't seem that that's the case. And it's been a slow drip. In the last few years, you're seeing more marquee front office people and coaches leave to go elsewhere. Just like you said, not for promotions, but for lateral moves. That, to me, says a lot about what's going on behind the scenes there.
Sean in Dorchester on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Sean.
I would like to talk about, like, the Freddie Freeman situation for a second. In my opinion, I think you guys are absolutely right in that they're not going to overpay to get him into our organization. If I was to sign somebody and bring them into the Red Sox, the only guy I could really think about is Nick Castellanos. Overpay him, bring him in, fill the outfield gap, and then use Bobby Dalbec as our first baseman with the hope that a guy like Tristan Casas could move up. And
yeah, let me tell you something,
Sean. What do you guys think about that?
I like that better. I don't want Jackie Bradley in your starting lineup. So you need an outfielder to make sure Jackie Bradley's your fourth guy. To me, I'd rather have Dalbec at first than Jackie Bradley playing every day in right or center. Absolutely. The guy can't play, can't hit. He cannot hit at a major league level. So I'm with you on that, on Freddie Freeman. I mean, if Schwarber gets 4 years at just under 20 a year, 4 years, $79 million, I think it was, what's Freeman going to get who's a superior player and coming off a World Series championship? I'd be stunned if the Sox were in on that. 5 years, $125 million. I mean, what's he going to get? That's what you're going to do?
He's 32 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know if that scares you, but
oh,
I mean,
it does.
His numbers are phenomenal the last couple of years. So.
I'm not saying he's worth it. I'm just saying if that's what the market is, that's what the market is.
Mm-hmm.
Scott in the car on Bill Belichick at the Georgia Pro Day. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I just don't listen, don't get me wrong. It's at least a nice change of events that Bill is doing something that he should be doing as opposed to going to, you know, BC spring practice. But, like, can we relax with the heaping of praise for Bill actually, like, doing his job? Like, he's there with 31 other teams, and I would assume 31 other GMs who – the only difference between the two is the 31 other teams don't have a fat porpoise walking around eating popcorn chicken in his ear. Like, it's really not that big of a deal that
it's not.
It's a big deal because you don't see him at a lot anymore.
Thanks
but that's why.
But it shouldn't be. To the caller's point, right. This should just be routine. This is part of the deal. Right. You go to these pro days. But people are like, see? Yeah, but it shouldn't be like that because this is what he should be doing.
If you don't go to Georgia's pro day, there's something seriously wrong, and not that I watched a lot of college football, but you...
Mike, they're going to have like 10 players go in the first three rounds.
If you watch 5 minutes of that Georgia defense...
So true.
You know, like, that's the team. That's how much talent was on that unit, that defensive unit in Georgia, and how much speed was on that team. If you don't go to your pro day, you are being negligent. Of course you go to that pro day. So yeah, I'm not giving him extra points for the thing.
Correct. And then they have just, you know, so people kind of understand what Mike's talking about is they have potentially their front seven probably could all go in the top 100, maybe even the top 50 players. And let's face it, the front seven, which I thought was going to be a lot, it was going to be a lot better than it was last year. It really looks like it needs, you know, a lot more improvement. based on last year, Devon Godchild maybe isn't what we thought. We know the two middle linebackers, at least, you know, Juwan Bentley and both Dont'a Hightower are probably not going to come back here. And so they need guys in their front seven, and Georgia has a lot that are very talented.
T-minus 28 till the official opening of free agency. Maybe that's when shoes will start to drop with the Patriots. There have been shoes dropping around the league today. The very latest here in the update with Big Jim, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we're clicking down to NFL free agency. 10 minutes away. Sorry, 20 minutes away. Felder and Mass math. 20 minutes from now, it officially begins. We'll see if that's when the Patriots decide to get involved. I don't know if I'd be holding my breath on that. But there is action around the league. Chandler Jones goes to the Vegas Raiders and Josh McDaniels. And this Baker Mayfield story continues to percolate. Baker Mayfield last night sends out what was essentially a goodbye to Cleveland. He didn't really say it in so many words, but it definitely had that tone of, you'll be important to my wife and I.
He's such a baby. Hey, this isn't a goodbye, but it was a goodbye.
Why is he a baby?
I mean,
Mike,
nothing's happened yet. You're posting something like that.
Yeah, you put it.
Why is he a baby? Maybe he knows there's something happening. I mean,
You like social media stuff.
No, I'm just saying, well, that's how they communicate. Like, I can't get upset that he tweeted. Everyone effing tweets.
But wait till something happens. As of right now, you're on the team.
Maybe it's happened.
And yeah, he knows.
He knows. He knows. We don't know. We're always the last to know.
And the Browns tried to trade Mayfield last year for Aaron Rodgers with a whole bunch of draft picks. So he knows he's been on the outs for a while now.
I mean, I'll get on him for sucking as a quarterback or not working hard at his craft or planting the stupid flag or whatever. But saying goodbye to a city that drafted him when he knows he's out, what's wrong with that?
I think it was the timing of it, because it was just reported that the Cleveland Browns were interested in Deshaun yesterday. And it's like, it feels so reactionary.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be with, this is going to be
maybe he knows he's out.
You might be right.
Maybe he had a conversation with him.
Then I'll apologize for calling him a douche then.
Well, I won't. Yeah, wait till it happens. Then send your whiny tweet.
What if it happened?
And it might. To your point, Mike, because, so more, Chris Mortensen was just on ESPN.
Who's never wrong?
He was never wrong. And he was talking about the, of course, Baker Mayfield and the Browns. And this is what he said about it. He said, quote, they are going to be breaking up regardless. So there you go, Michael. Whether or not they get with Deshaun Watson or not. And that they, quote, Cleveland wants, quote, an adult at quarterback.
Okay, so my guess is they had the conversation with him, where they tell them how they felt about him. We're not going to extend you. In fact, we're going to move on at the position. Nothing's official yet, but that's how we feel. And so Baker Mayfield heard that, had that conversation, and said goodbye to the city. Like, please. Like, what's the big deal about that? Why does that make him look bad?
Is Garoppolo an upgrade in Cleveland?
Yes. Mm. I mean, not massive. It's not like it puts him over the top, but
Mayfield actually plays hurt, unlike Garoppolo.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's close, but I think I'd rather have Garoppolo than Mayfield.
Okay, if you're the Texans, and I guess it's amazing that Deshaun Watson has to sign off on this. You talk about great leverage that he has with the no-trade clause. But the report that I am seeing that what the Browns are offering the Houston Texans for Deshaun Watson is 3 first-round picks, a second-round pick, Denzel Ward, and Kareem Hunt.
Wow.
I don't know how, if you're the Texans, you turn that deal down.
That's a great offer.
Oof.
3 first, and so Mayfield isn't even a part of that.
No, he's not a part of that deal. Because Nick Sarah doesn't want. You would think maybe, Baker's from Texas, so that maybe that's a good fit. I don't think it's a good. Mike, I'll say this. Jim and I are being critical of Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's a good. I don't trust Baker Mayfield with my franchise.
Yeah, and that's fair too.
Yeah.
But just sending out the goodbye to Cleveland to me isn't what does it. What does it is that maybe he cares more about the image of Baker Mayfield. He is good in those spots. I will say that.
Yes, he is funny.
He and Emily thanked Cleveland, you know, and she's good too. They're cute in those spots.
I just feel like, look,
maybe that's his future and not a quarterback, but either way, saying goodbye to the city, like, what's the big deal about
but
that?
But until it happens, it feels premature. The Dolphins did
it's
this.
It's happened.
But we don't know that yet, Mike.
He
the
does.
Dolphins did the same crap with Tua last year. You didn't see Tua putting out a missive to Miami.
He
just shut up and played.
He wasn't moving.
There was talk that he was going to. There's talk that Mayfield might move.
No. We're talking about it internally. What if they told him? It's not like...
Well,
yes,
until I see it from a blue check mark, it ain't real.
Well, it'll come, Jim. I don't know if it comes in 15 minutes.
Hang on, let me type up the tweet.
Yeah, it's coming. He's out. He knew he was out yesterday, so he said goodbye. All the things to get on him for, that ain't it. Get on him for sucking. Get on him for not fulfilling his potential. As you know, he should have been a franchise quarterback. And he's not for some reason. So, like, I would get on him for that. Saying goodbye is probably the least of it. But anyway, the long and short of it is more quarterback movement coming. And if Cleveland does land Deshaun Watson, put another team on top of you. Put another team that's in your way.
The porking gets deeper.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we continue with the Patriots pork roast here on the eve of NFL free agency, which is coming up next segment. T-minus 15 minutes, the very latest. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Believe in moral victories. A good loss, we'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mez.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's jump to what's new right now, and that, of course, is what we were just kind of talking about here with NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Not only do we have a Chandler Jones deal expected to be signed with the Las Vegas Raiders, but a pass rusher also expected to leave the Las Vegas Raiders. What can you tell us?
This is a two-part situation. First, colleague Tom Pelissero told us that Chandler Jones is headed to the Raiders. Now I am told Yannick Ngakoue, the standout pass rusher for the Las Vegas Raiders, is going to the Indianapolis Colts in a deal that includes cornerback Rock Ya-Sin. Do not yet have the full and final terms here, but this is what we know. The Raiders have a new standout pass rusher, someone, of course, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler know from their time in New England. They have loved Chandler Jones. They think he's going to be have a huge impact on their defense. And Yannick Ngakoue, who had a huge impact on the Raiders' defense last year under Gus Bradley, now goes to the Indianapolis Colts to play for their new defensive coordinator. Wait for it. Gus Bradley.
Gus Bradley. All the pieces come together.
So that was a big NFL move that has happened today. Chandler Jones to the Raiders. There's just a couple jumping off points there. Ted had an interesting point in the break. Chandler Jones could be what, Ted?
You know, when you look at it, it's not too crazy to suggest that Chandler Jones is a Hall of Fame type caliber player. When you look at his kind of production, he's been in the league 10 years, like you said, Mike. He's got 107.5 sacks.
He has the most sacks in the NFL over the last decade.
Yep.
So, and my answer to you, Wafio, when we were talking this was, well, name me a guy that led the league in sacks for a full decade and is not in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So continue.
And so I thought, well, who's maybe a similar comp to who's played maybe the same amount of time, they only play identical positions, but pretty close, and that's J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt has basically been a Hall of Famer after the first 5 years he got into the league. J.J. Watt has played 1 year more than Chandler Jones. He's played 11 years, and he's got 102 sacks.
And Jones has what?
107.5 sacks.
So he's outproduced J.J. Watt over the same amount of time, yeah. Frankly, a little less. And you know J.J. Watt's going in the Hall of Fame.
J.J., three-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's guaranteed. He was going in after, again, five-year career. He was so I don't know. It just kind of struck me like, dude, Chandler Jones is better than what we all maybe have thought he was.
This is where I go, because this is another myth that you know, that I, you know, it was disabused of this thing you all used to say about Bill never lets someone go that comes back to haunt him, or he never lets someone go who goes and does anything. And I always felt like saying, what? You do understand Ty Law led the league in interceptions the year in 2006 after five, whatever year that was. I think it was 2006 then, that he left you and went to the Jets. Do you know that? Like, you just choose to ignore that because you want to believe in this myth of players never going and doing anything after they leave here? Adam Vinatieri is the greatest kicker in NFL history after he left here and here, but he kept doing it for a long time in Indianapolis, which is obvious. Asante Samuel, you understand he made four straight, the last one here, three straight Pro Bowls with the Philadelphia Eagles after he left here. I think he led the league with interceptions with nine in 2009, 2 years after he left here. He was second team All-Pro in 2009 after he left here. Like, no one ever
brings that up.
Yeah, like they just sort of ignore it. Like, they go on and they have success. Not everybody. A lot of guys fell on their face, but a lot of guys didn't. And you just never chose to pay attention to it.
Hakeem Hicks. Yeah.
Hakeem Hicks is a great one in Chicago. Guy's a freaking, or he was a beast. He's sort of aging out now, but he was one of the best defensive linemen in football for a time there. You barely remember him here.
And those first 3 years after he left here, started 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, 7 sacks, 8.5, 7.5. The guy was a menace up front for Chicago.
He was tremendous. And now Chandler Jones. You traded him for a second-round pick. And he's... should be a Hall of Famer. Has the most sacks in football over the last decade. It's like,
probably will be.
You know, and I haven't even gotten to, I don't know, Tom Brady. I haven't even mentioned that one yet. But it's like, can we please officially put that one to bed?
And do you remember the argument at the time, too, with Chandler Jones? Well, they can't keep Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. You're going to have to pick. Just actually pay them both, you know.
No, that was the year, I think it was, Revis, Jones, and Hightower.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, we can't keep all these guys. And they end up losing two of the three. It's not like they let one go to keep. No, they lost two of the three.
They were right on Revis, but Chandler Jones, you can really second guess.
Oh, come on. And for a set, you traded a Hall of Famer for a second round pick in his prime. That never attaches to Bill. But we'll start. We'll start. Yeah. We'll start attaching, shall we?
Well, there is a decent counter to the Chandler Jones thing. So, well, that became Joe Tooney, and then they also got like another pick that became Malcolm Mitchell. You got Tooney and Mitchell out of that deal ultimately, but Chandler Jones has been a menace.
A Hall of Fame pass rusher for a guard and a receiver who gave you 1 year up. Call me nuts, but I'm going to keep the pass rusher. I'll take him.
Why didn't I think they got a guard in return from Arizona?
Well, that's what they do with the draft picks, is what Jim is saying.
Okay.
So they got a second round pick.
The bum they got from Arizona sucked.
Right.
Did they get a bum?
Yeah, they got a bum guard. Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah, it was a top. He was like a top five, top six pick.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah.
So they got a bum guard and a second round pick.
Correct. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. All right. Either way, you traded a Hall of Fame pass rusher for a second round pick and a bum guard. Yeah, guys, put that on the resume. Let's bury that narrative, because I don't feel like it was ever true, and it's. And the more you choose to look at it, it's becoming less true by the day. All right? What was I just going to say? Jay Glazer has a tweet. Teams involved in the Deshaun Watson trade talks believe an answer is coming perhaps as early as today/tonight, which means I bet it's going to happen in the next 90 seconds. I mean, honestly, the league year starts in less than 2 minutes. And so that's what I think is coming. I think that's when, well, hopefully the whole free agency thing hits another level, because I think across the league, it's been a little tepid here. It's been so tepid as to, you know, they're going in reverse. In other words, so far this offseason, the Patriots have created more holes than they've filled. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, offensive line is like a big need where it, you know, heretofore, it really wasn't on any of our lists. But now you've got Karras out the door, Shaq Mason out the door. Trent Brown doesn't feel like he's coming back, so you got issues up front. Never mind issues at receiver. Never mind issues at corner. Never mind issues at linebacker, Ted. Who are their freaking linebackers on this team? And so it all starts basically just about right now. About a minute to go until it officially starts and the bell rings. So why don't we do this? We'll do an update with Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials. Give you real-time updates as they happen and take your reaction to it. Right after this, there's no commercials again, so don't leave your radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.